Can you hear me okay?
I certainly can. How does the day find you, Anna?
Good.
So where in the world have you brought me? I've brought you to Australia. Where have you taken me?
I have brought you to the very exotic Maryland.
Oh,
United States.
That is rad. Don't get me started with just, it'll get emotional if I think about just how many opportunities you guys have, especially in that art and entertainment sphere. In the meantime, there are like no game studios. And speaking of games, Anna, I immediately had to touch base with you after seeing your, I'm sure it's not the only thing you do, but frankly, we have to start there. I'm sure we'll unfold this multifaceted being that is Anna, but your harp skills. Is it like a punishment you've given yourself to like, please dive into this amazing thing you've done?
Probably be considered a punishment in a way, but not any more than how playing the regular game
would
be considered a punishment. But so I'm a professional harpist. I went to school. I majored in something that people often don't think that you can major in, which is harp performance. So I have 2 degrees in it. It's, you know, it's what I do, it's how I make money. And after I finished playing Elden Ring, I, like so many other people who finished the game after playing for, I don't even want to like disclose how many hours
a
day.
Or
like
you're in a safe place. This is the Urge Tree of Trust.
Yeah, I just, it was just something where like I spent so much of my time playing it for like a month or over a month straight. And after I finished, it was just my first playthrough. It was just because there's so much content in the game. I'm very much somebody who likes to do as much as I can in a game. Mm-hmm. If I enjoy it, I was left with this hole in my soul. I was left with a soul hole, and I was just like, what, how am I gonna fill my time now? So of course the Souls community is kind of notorious. I feel like it's kind of like a meme at this point, right? How like this person beat the game with literal fruit. And I was just like, you know, it would be really funny if I did something with harp, because it's already very unique. And a big thing that I know people like to try are like Guitar Hero controllers, whether that's like with the guitar or the drums, or like the DK Bongos was like maybe one of the first weird controllers maybe that people made. I don't really know the history of this kind of thing. And I know now that people had done it with like an actual guitar, but I didn't really know that at the time. So I was like, oh, it'd be cool to do it with like a real instrument. So I mostly know how to play the harp. I already have like the capability to plug my harp into a computer. So let's just do it with a harp, see how it goes. I started out with Dark Souls 1, just the tutorial. It took me an embarrassing amount of time to get through just the tutorial.
Well, you know, square one.
And, right. Yeah, so I did that. I went through a little bit more of the game with both the harp and then also the controller. And then I decided to invest in Elden Ring. The reason why I started with Dark Souls is because that was what was in this my Steam library already. And I play Elden Ring on PS5 normally. Mm. So I don't have it on PC, but I was like, you know what? It's not a joke at this point. I'm invested. Let's drop like what, like 60 bucks or something on this game. I'll play it on the harp now. So that's how it started.
Wow. Right. So if any, I don't know, they're notoriously reclusive, and they kind of have that sort of Wonka quality, the actual makers of the game From Software. But I know that it has to be statistically likely, at least, that, you know, this may trickle in some way to them to know that you're doing this. I'm sure probably either this podcast, oh my God, compared to, you know, the clip where I found you, which was on the Elden Ring subreddit, I'm sure that's found its way to Hidetaka. I can only imagine his gigantic smile and like the creators of the game just being like, oh my Lord. I mean, it really speaks to that resonance and how much people have like fallen head over heels for this title that you've done this. Buying the game in an entirely new format again, just so that you could, you know, hook it up to the harp and everything. I guess we can go into the technical details of like what's actually involved with like, you know, with each stroke. What I'm going to do in the editing though is, because I know you're like a professional harp player, we do have some footage of you out there that I can grab to sort of at the beginning. Absolutely. Just so that, because when I'm sure my fiance, because you are so focused, it's like it's like very staccato, you know, very kind of avant-garde. Maybe you'll have some people trying to remix, like, okay, so this is Anna's battle with Margit. Right. I'm going to like take her notes that she used while like fighting it and turn it into, you know, have you been, maybe that's a tangent actually, any battles where you've actually maybe picked up on some riffs that you kind of want to turn into compositions later? You, I don't know, or not? Is it just pure focus on not dying?
Yeah, well, in the moment, it's definitely pure focus on not dying. Although there were some people that had, there have been multiple people that have, you know, mentioned like, oh, it'd be really cool to make a composition out of whatever sounds you make, which would be cool. Mm-hmm. If I were a composer, but that's not really something that I do all that often. So I think coming from me, it wouldn't sound great. But if anybody else wants to do it, you know, they're welcome to. The thing is, with the way that I have the harp set up, especially for Elden Ring, there are not that many pitch variations. Because, you know, when you play the game, you get into a boss battle and what do you know, it's mostly rolling, attacking in various ways. And so, you know, I have one string for attack, I have one for roll. So it's a lot of the same notes that you hear. So I don't know for Elden Ring if that would be very interesting if you did that with a lot of them. Rhythmically, maybe it could be, because all of the bosses have different attack patterns. So
This is, you've made me think of a couple of episodes we had a fellow musician on, and I talked about how the dexterity required for musicianship, you know, especially with certain instruments, parallels the dexterity that really can just, you know, stand you in good stead with extremely rigorous games like Elden Ring, where it is so much about reflexes and just rapidity of dactylial, or whatever the English word is, movement, you know, movement of the fingers. And I mean, first of all, the thing that comes to mind with that is, would you say that this experience has like made you a better musician, or given you this insane new superhuman level, or even maybe in just like an increased level of like tenacity and, you know, stamina? I know that musicians, you know, can sometimes play for like hours, especially with like long concerts and stuff, but were you tested as a musician with this, or was it just purely fun?
So I think if anything, it might go the other way. So I don't know if playing the game like this has made me a better musician, but
it's made you a worse musician.
But I do think that, a lot of the, you know, if you're like in an enemy's face and you really want to, if you're not like a range build, if you're like a melee build and you really just want to like dodge accurately and like find good openings to attack and everything, a lot of it is pattern based and rhythm based too. And so I know, you know, you can recognize that as a non-musician, but definitely that's something that I'm very attuned to. Whether or not that's because I have a music background or just because, you know, that's a way to play these games, I don't know. But that is, you know, I do think that is a strategy to fight, recognizing that.
Terrific. We will definitely keep pivoting and dipping back into all this wonderful. I have so many specific questions just about the process of it. But around about this time in every episode, we tend to just pause and say, okay, Tarnished, rise, Tarnished, give us your Elden Ring ID, essentially. And that can be open form. You can talk about first point you encountered it, why it intrigued you. A lot of people go into like their favorite character, location, creature, musical theme, chapter in the game, artifact, whatever. Go for it. What do you reckon? I'll throw you one to make it easy. Like favorite boss, because bosses are such a thing with From Software, like design wise, or go for it.
Oh, this is going to be, I feel like this is a very stereotypical answer, but Melania was my favorite boss.
Let me solo her.
He was also, huh?
Oh, that's the, you know, it's one of those, let me solo her, the guy.
Exactly.
Anyway, but yeah, Melania, my goodness. Oh, iconic, obviously. Yeah, but go ahead.
Definitely. I mean, for all of these games that I've played, which hasn't been their complete list yet, but I've played a lot of them. The boss that I die the most to tends to be my favorite, because you really, really hate them until you learn how to fight them, and then it becomes fun, and then the win is really satisfying.
Would you say that for From Software, this like the art of the, it's almost like magic, really. Like for me, Gascoigne at one point in Bloodborne was like impossible. Like I was just so intimidated. And like he's one of the fucking easiest bosses by comparison. But what can you speak to of From Software's like, I mean, it has to be some kind of next level of enemy AI design where it can truly feel absolutely insurmountable to like a lot of people. And then you see those clips on like r/Elden Ring where it's the guy's just sort of neoing his way, just like avoiding every blade strike.
And no sprint, no dodge, like no parry.
Is that? No other designers I feel are even trying to come close. I mean, I think maybe you share a bit of that obsessive mindset that maybe From Software have. Maybe that's why you connected with it in that sort of way. I don't know. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I think the way that I am, so kind of tying it back to music, something that I'm very used to and something that, you know, all musicians, all successful musicians are used to is practicing. And, you know, what that comes down to a lot of the time is
repetition,
locking myself in the practice room, and exactly just repetition and repeating something until you get it, and just internalizing things. And I think with these bosses, I enjoy, as you said, bosses are such a big part of these games. And obviously there's a lot of other things and there's a lot of reasons why people enjoy them. But for me, a lot of the reason they are the boss fights. And I think probably that has to do with how I work in my professional life, which is just practicing. And I don't really get frustrated. I haven't really had like a rage quit moment where I like throw the controller across the room and I'm like,
you're a musician. I'm never playing this game. Anna, you're a musician, you know.
Yeah, it's just something where it's like, all right, you know, this is the second hour that I'm on this, but you know what? I've gotten a lot better. Okay, yeah, like second hour or third hour maybe. But yeah, it's just something where like you get better, and I like feeling that I can do something now that I wasn't able to do a little while ago. And I'm not the type, I don't there have been some wins that I've gotten on accident, or I've like just forced myself and like just prayed that like my weapon does more damage, you know, than but for the most part, what the really satisfying thing is for me is is getting the win and knowing that I could replicate it, because I know what to do now more than I did before.
That's awesome. From Software has made musicians of us all, if you think about it.
Yeah, no, it's honestly, just, you kind of have to be able to do stuff like that. So,
By the way, something about From Software games, and please speak to this if you've encountered this in the community. You're familiar with it, you're immersed in it, you're on the Reddit. People love you on the Reddit, definitely. One thing I've noticed is that, you know, on the toxic side, it can be that excessive, really like patronizing, gatekeeping thing of like, get good. But in that beautiful middle ground, there's just this great thing with From Software where it filters out, you know, people who, you know, don't get into that, almost like a game developer. And another thing, I say musicians, but game developers as well, they spend so many hours upon hours keyframe animating. So there was definitely no performance capture done on any of From Software's games. It's all keyframe animated. Keyframe is frame by frame, like stop motion, you know, which is also very meticulous, so I think it's sort of, From Software games can be sort of a beacon of those people who are like myself. Like I'm ex OCD, it was really bad for a while, and now it's just morphed into this sort of benign meticulousness and thoroughness with things. So yeah, I guess you can speak to that, but then I also want to go into like how much into the other extremely meticulous aspect of Elden Ring, which is the lore and like just how well constructed those aspects are. So on the subject of meticulousness and From Software, Anna, go.
Oh, okay. Well, honestly, talking about the lore, that is something that I actually am not meticulous about.
Oh, cool.
I had every intention when I started this game to like read all the item descriptions, listen to what all the NPCs were saying, but I couldn't do it. A lot of the reason was because I was not necessarily playing with friends, like, you know, in game, but I was voice chatting with friends who we were all, like all playing like at the same time, and I just couldn't read and talk at the same time. Totally. So lore is actually something that I like to have some kind of understanding about what's going on, but honestly that's not like one of the things I get super into with these games.
I have something for you for that very quickly. On the subject of being able to unfurl the lore, like in an easy way, one of the things that podcasts have done is that they're almost like a public service. I find a lot of the ones I listen to are people who recap news and like stuff that you just wouldn't have time to like look through, and they kind of summarize and stuff like that, or even literally read through like audiobook style. So I'm going to consider this, and maybe I'll include this clip in that episode. I'm considering this the genesis, and I might even be like, for Anna, like so that she has this, or for the Annas of the world. I want to have all of the item descriptions, only the lore parts, mechanic parts, you know, that's obvious, but those tiny little tidbits, which is so teasingly put at the very bottom of the lore descriptions, or the item descriptions, I want to do them for every single From Software game, but obviously starting with Elden Ring. And so would you be interested in something like that? If I say, hey, I did it, Anna, it took me a couple of weeks, but everything is fully annotated, just have a fun time. It's 4 hours long, every single item description, blah. Would you be into that?
Yeah, I think if it tied things together, so maybe not just the item descriptions, but like if it related it to each other and and to some other mysteries throughout the world, then because it is something that like it's not that I don't hate the lore or anything. It's not like something that I like avoid. It's just something that I usually can't be bothered to try to understand on my own. So if somebody can like, you know, sit me down and like explain it to me, then sure, that's great.
Well, we've got, so preceding this one, there's The Lore of the Lands Between part two. This will be 20, because I like to make the sort of full number, like very special episode. So you're that special episode, like episode 20. And the idea is to continue that until there's a nice kind of podcast within a podcast, so that people can just, like, you know, immerse themselves into this. But but back to what does resonate with you most, I take it is that experience of, I guess it's a dopamine thing, or it's a certainly something that, like, do you do it to relax? Like, outside of playing, like, you've obviously played, you obviously played
LP. We all play these games to relax,
right? Sure, relax. Yeah. Well, yeah, so on that subject, like, do you have specific moments? I'm such a sucker for, like, the tiny little vignettes of like, here's an example, Breath of the Wild, like, when I just first came across Zora's Domain, like, I'm a Zelda kid from back in the day, like late 90s. And when I came across it, I was like, oh man, I feel like Frodo coming across Rivendell, having a moment. Yeah. Like, it was big. Any moments as you were just exploring? I just say you probably didn't read ahead of time. You didn't look at spoilers. You just dove in. What were the standout moments for you of, like, a discovery moment in Elden Ring for you across your playthrough?
I think probably... the one that was most like, wow, was when you, I there were so many things that happened in my playthrough that I'm definitely not going to remember things correctly, but you go somewhere, you're teleported somewhere somehow to see basically the capital, but like from afar, right? Like, you're way above, you can't get down there. It's, you can see it. There's like a giant or something up there that you kill, and that's it. That's what there is to do at that point in time. And then, but you can see it, and you're like, well, you know, I know how this game goes. I can almost certainly go there at some point. And so you kind of look forward to it. You're kind of excited. And then I remember when I did make it to the Capitol, and when you go out from, I think you go, you defeat that really dumb tree sentinel, the stupid one.
I hate that thing.
You go across the bridge, you kind of like go through the building, and then you emerge, and it's just like golden rooftops. And that was a really, really nice feeling. I can't even explain why, but it was just really nice.
Landell, my goodness. I think if I had the money, and I'm sure if you had the money, you'd be like, so Miyazaki, let's make this happen. Like, we'll collaborate with some architects, like, build me a fucking mansion as though it could be found. Because how amazing are some of those places in Landell? Like, obviously you imagine it pre-corruption, pre-downfall. So beautiful. And like the residue and the weirdness of, like, you're going around, you know, it's like a nightmare. This man is obsessed with nightmares. He's obsessed with, like, beautiful things and then twisting them and corrupting them. I guess that's how you make things interesting instead of, you know. Well, that's amazing. I guess for me, obviously that township with all the Midsommar, like, prancing, dancing ladies.
It's so Midsommar, right?
you have to imagine that there are certain things that, like, that's clearly Midsommar, you know. I have a lot of fun doing Mind's Eye Cinema, imagining the exact moment when whatever game designer or whatever, like, moment was like, hey, I just saw this movie, can we maybe incorporate a bit of this? So you've given me a tidbit. We won't veer into it too much, even though I love the wider From Software over, but outside of Elden Ring, obviously I dare say that Elden Ring is your favorite of the group. Is that controversial, maybe, or are you a Bloodborne? Like,
I am actually a Bloodborne, Sekiro, girl. Sekiro is my first game, so I hold a very, my first From Software game, but kind of, like, it wasn't my first game, but it was one of the, it was the first game like this I had played. I think before that I had played Pokemon and Portal.
Okay.
And like Tony Hawk Underground Skater. Or something, you know. That I played is, like those. A classic, right?
Exactly.
But so that one holds, Sekiro holds a very special place in my heart. And it honestly, I think a lot of the, like, really good memories I have with beating the bosses comes from that one, because that one I had to grind the most because I wasn't used to these games. And I wasn't really used to, I really, you know, fighting games, I had only done turn-based fighting games before that. So I really wasn't used to that kind of format. And yeah, that game gave me like the rush that you get after you like beat something. So I like that one. The combat is amazing too. Yeah. And Bloodborne is the one that I played after that. It introduced me to co-oping, helping people in their worlds. And, you know, that I think that gives the game a lot of replayability, as it does with the other ones that are co-op too. So I put a lot of hours into that one. I love that one as well.
Love it. Okay, so we now have your top three. Obviously, we're going, I dare say Sekiro number one, Bloodborne 2, or Elden Ring 3? Or are we talking Elden Ring 2 and then Bloodborne 3?
We're talking Sekiro and Bloodborne 1 or 2, depending on the day. Yeah, basically. Yeah. And we'll give Elden Ring 3.
Yeah. You know what? Thank you. I'm glad we can enter this again, safe space. Because, so I desperately love Elden Ring. Obviously, I mean, it's the longest running of the, believe it or not, we have it's Topic Podcast Network, every topic, whatever. I guess I'm insane. Whatever that meticulousness, thoroughness. We also have within that the Miyazaki podcast, like sub network. And then this literally, I even have a Durasane one, which I know that no one wants to talk about Durasane with me, but I would love, I feel like that kid on the playground being like, anyone want to talk about Durasane with me? Do you know about that?
No, I don't know.
That's okay. So obviously, speaking of, you know, the Midsommar inspiration, clearly Miyazaki one day, he watched Pan's Labyrinth. He watched a bunch of Guillermo del Toro movies and he's like, I want to make a VR game in like a very Guillermo del Toro kind of. And yeah, so it's a VR game created by From Software very incongruously between Dark Souls 3 and Sekiro. And it's just so charming. So, I love them all. But, I really hope people don't like turn off the recording, but my first and foremost love will always be Bloodborne. It's cool. I'm glad that we, and the reason why is that the Bloodborne, I would like to say, even though, you know, Dark Souls kind of had that slow unveiling of the Eldritch, which is a common feature in all of Miyazaki's stories, like around about the three quarter mark, you start seeing the pure horror of this world, you know. But for me, because Bloodborne was my like first encounter point, it was actually the first podcast I ever recorded back in 2015. Aww. Is the thing that kickstarted me recording them. And I was like, oh, this is clearly inspired by like Bram Stoker, because it was just like a bunch of werewolves going around, and then you start seeing these amygdala and you start understanding this, you know. And honestly, like, Anna, let's get real, you know, what is it, the outer gods and then the great ones, like, exactly.
So such parallels there,
but what I am immensely happy for, I mean, I yeah like aboundlessly love Elden Ring. I love that what it has done is catapulted. I mean, there was like a Ming-Na Wen commercial cut to it now in the edit.
Claim the bad crab. Work in a hospital. Topple a dictator. Save a dynasty.
Seek the Elden Ring.
Never let success get to your head. Arrogance is failure. The quest for the Elden Ring will be no different. Soon, it will be mine. I'm no stranger to adventure. But with towering abominations and fearsome dragons, hell-bent on stopping any would-be challenger, I'll have my work cut out for me. But I'll be ready. Roaming the lands between as a tarnished, facing down warring demigods and demons alike, stretched beyond the limits of my resilience, tested to the edge of my imagination. I'll dance with death 100 times if I must. Guided by grace, I know I will claim my prize and become the Elden Lord. But I know I'm not alone. Far from it. Do you too seek the Elden Ring? Then I wish you luck. And may death never stop you.
And I was like, oh, cool. The voice of Mulan is like totally telling me about Elden Ring. This is crazy, you know? So it has really boosted its kind of profile, I guess, you know, in the wider world. But that brings me to you and in relation to the rest of your sphere. So do your friends understand this thing of your harp thing, this thing of Elden Ring? Are they like, oh yeah, wait, Anna's having her Elden Ring time? Or do you have a bunch of like close Elden Ring friends that you like play with that sort of join you in your playthroughs like back in the 90s, I guess? Or is it all online?
So I have some friends who like playing games, who like kind of know what I'm up to just because it's, you know, whatever. But when I sit down and play, I just do it on my own, except for last week when I streamed for the first time.
And that brings me to, thank you for the segue, right there on the screen. Wait, on the screen and in the links below, please go to Lettuce. What is it? Lettuce for Life.
Lettuce for Days.
Lettuce for Days. Let's be unfiltered. Friends, there's so much trash on Twitch.
Okay, can I just say, I haven't this, even...
And you're one of the really, bad, really, really worthwhile ones. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not... I don't think I've ever watched a Twitch streamer before.
I'm very... See, you are my... Bring it in. You are my people because I am the same. There's a saying, my fiance talks about it. It's like you are in that world, but not of it. It's like I'm participating in it, but I'm not of it. I'm not like part of that culture. And I'm so glad that. And I was like, so what's your tag? And Anna's like, I don't have an Instagram. I've just, you know, so thank you for being a real person.
As is kind of the case with musicians, when they specialize in one instrument, I like doing one thing well more than I trust myself to do a lot of things well.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, and also because the Twitch thing is just because I like having time to play games more than I have time to watch them. So
thank you. I'm doing all these, you know, if you select that, that's still extremely awkward from software thing where it's like, you have to like tick, 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 tick to like select an emote. But if I could right then, it would just be like gratitude because I was the same. I started playing Elden Ring on stream. I had like the first one that I was like, I'm committed, I'll do it. I'll try and break into this. And I was like, what am I doing? This is so unnatural. I am firmly a 90s baby when it comes to like, well, I'm playing, I just want to focus. You know, how is it? And I know that there's like content out there for everyone, but you said it made you like bad at stuff. I would say conversely, it makes you better at being a human being who is like engaged in normal things. So anyway, you know, no shade to people who like enjoy just checking on a Twitch. I know there are some streamers who just play, they don't talk, whatever.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's just like another form of entertainment is all. And so it's just like, some people like shows more, some people like movies more, some people don't.
Thank you. I like that we can be egalitarian, sorry, we can be no judgy and just like accepting, but deep down we do hold our opinions, don't we? I'm kidding. All right. Okay, so my super unfiltered thing is that I think, you know, Elden Ring is such a, again, people don't realize. So Ocarina of Time they've been spoken of in the same breath a lot recently, Ocarina of Time, Elden Ring. And the thing is, it's because Elden Ring, like I said, Willy Wonka style, they like, From Software, like, completely lock themselves off when they're making a game. They don't do the trickling of information. They just like a musician, they just lock themselves in until it's done. And when it's done, they emerge and it's there. Twitch and the sort of trickling out and the, I don't know, modern social media trappings of like must always like give hints and teases and stuff. It dilutes like the impact. And I'm so glad that it's impossible to remember now, but Anna, do you remember the dark times when people were like, is Elden Ring ever going to come out? Like,
Oh my gosh. I remember when it was like a rumor that people were like desperately clinging to.
Exactly. Yeah. There was the memes of like, I'll cut to them now in the edit, like people with the hollowed out eyes.
Yeah. You
know, all of that. The sub was going insane, like hollowing and everything. But I still think that that is the way to go. Do you have anything to say about that? The idea of like, because it seems like we're made of that same, cut from that same cloth of like, just wait, like work on it. And when it's ready, put it out, you know?
For sure. Yeah, for sure. I mean, without going too much into specifics, I think a lot of people have been disappointed with some of the games that have come out recently that feel like they were rushed. Which I feel really bad about, because
Cyberpunk 2077.
You're right. as I said, not mentioning any names.
Let's go. I'll do it for you.
But which is not, I don't know, and I feel bad because it's not their fault. I know there's a lot of pressure to get things out at a certain time, but yeah, I mean, I think it's a good strategy to just, you know, have them do their thing. They seem so just unconcerned with what everybody else wants or expects from them. And because they don't feel the need to respond to that kind of pressure, I think they just can come out with a really good, fresh product, which is great and amazing.
You've hit on something very eloquently expressed, by the way. You've hit on something. The key of it is the fallacy of like, oh, well, we have to do this for the fans. We have to tell them for the fans. But truly, deep down, the fans don't want the trickle. They might say it vocally and like make a big hoopla online about it. But what they truly want deep down, beyond wanting to be updated, beyond wanting a new trailer, they want a good game. And so the Miyazaki approach literally gives everyone the benefits. Like, there's no pressure on the game devs to rush. They just make it. The game extraordinarily benefits. And they think they had one delay in an era where there's like multiple delays. Like, Cyberpunk was delayed 3 times and it was still buggy as all hell. And so they took their time, which was benefited them, their like mental health. There was no crunch to be heard of, that nothing's come out, because there's a lot of insiders. No crunch. Makes me so angry. It's like, this is clearly the way to make games. Like, follow the Elden Rings of the world. Like, so no crunch. The product or the art itself like benefited enormously. And then, as we can see, I mean, it's just, I think it is one of the highest rated games. Like, it's a universal acclaim, like to a notable like article writing level. People are writing articles about.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
So, and what I'll tail it off with is, it's the artist mentality. It's because you, as you said, you're not the controller throwing type. You're not the you know, prone to drama kind of type. You have a creator's mindset. You know that making, like practicing as you have to become the harpist you've become, that took time. And so I think there's an extra added layer of like ability to empathize with game devs that comes from musicians and come from, I mean, I'm an artist to some degree with these scribbles and the podcast stuff. Twitch, often there's a lot of rage Twitch stuff and a lot of, you know, the drama. It's just, it's again, I like you, I'm in this space, but very much not of it. But what I want to do is tailor back to you with what you've done is, you found a really great balance, which is like, you're tapping into something, this game, which there's such a built-in and passionate community. So first of all, like anything Elden Ring played on this device, as you said, fruit. I still have to ask you about that, what that was about.
Like bananas, that was really a thing. I know somebody who did it with like grapes, which sounds really like bananas. Fine, it's kind of mushy. Grape sounds like legitimately like
just like holding a grape and doing like that
sticky and huh,
and just like holding a grape and like meticulously.
I think it has to do with maybe the, I would have to ask them, but maybe the like liquid in the grape, I don't know. Okay, that's not right. Like I my degree's not in grapes. This is not in my,
that's the episode title. The episode title, that my degree is not in grapes. Demon Souls, did you mess with that a little bit? Right?
Back in the day. that was my first game that I played when I got my PS5, which is my first console. So that was like maybe the March after it released or something. So whatever. Okay. I guess like last March. I don't know. All time is blended together for me for the last like 3 years. So
Time is convoluted, line from Dark Souls. Do you use any sayings or whatever the fuck from like the Elden Ring? Does it spill into your real life in any way?
Only if something really stupid happens in my life, and then I go Dark Souls or something.
Like that. That is the sort of the Dark Souls of my life. So you've completed the game, obviously Elden Ring, which I dare say means how many times and how many NPC quest lines have you like? Did you go back to replay it?
So I only have completed it one time, but I have started 3 new playthroughs after that, but none of them are done.
Okay.
The NPC quest lines, I did as many of them as I could.
Are you just clicking through? Do you hear the story? Do you like, or do you just like want
to
get it done?
No, I mean, I try to understand what they're saying, but I mean, but this one especially, I feel like this one was hard for me to follow because if you look at the ending amount of time, it was something like 180 hours is what my first playthrough ended at.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if something is said at hour like 6, and then I'm at hour like 152. I don't really remember all the way back there. So I think this one was a little bit harder for me to follow. So I try. I just don't like go insane trying to figure it out if I don't know. So
Okay. It's baffling that we've gotten this far into a conversation with a musician on Elden Ring. Anna, what do you think of Elden Ring's music? Yoko Kitamura, the composer. How do you feel about this woman?
I'll
be honest, and I'm glad, like, you don't have to be like, oh, fawning over it. If you're like, hey, it's a bit generic, just tell me. It's all good.
So I did like Elden Ring soundtrack. I think out of all of the FromSoft games, I liked Elden Ring soundtrack the most. The tracks that normally I enjoy the most were kind of the ambient walking around kinds of tracks. I think more than the boss battles.
Okay. So yeah. No, actually, Anna, it's baffling. Everyone that I know enjoys just having Margit's fucking theme full blast while they're trying to sleep. Like, that's just something. No, I'm kidding. I do like. I'm kidding.
You're kidding. But I'm sure there's someone out there.
So. I'm sure. You know, it's funny. There's something out there for everyone. I'm sure it's like I can only fall asleep to like the screeching, squelching sounds of the One Reborn.
Yeah, right.
That's me.
Yeah, it's like somebody needs to make ASMR.
Yeah, it's out there.
Yeah.
Like just 10-hour mix of just land octopi sounds. Oh, man. Okay, freakiest boss in Elden Ring, or freakiest enemy, excuse me. Just like that you're like, get away from me.
Freakiest enemy? I mean, the one that I'm the most get away from is probably the Revenant. I feel like it's like that for everybody, but it's also like pretty freaky, right? Because it's so fast. Anything that like runs at you that fast and just like disappears and like reappears behind you. I don't know.
Yeah. Freaky little. Favorite farming area? Like, did you ever do farming, first of all?
I didn't, because I feel like there's so many.
You think areas. You're so much better than us, huh? You think you just play naturally. You don't have to farm. Look at me. I'm Anna. I don't have to farm.
I think it's because when I first started, like, I literally, like, got the game when it came out, like, that, like, afternoon or something, started playing. And I think a lot of the good farming locations hadn't been discovered yet.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Makes
but
sense.
Also, I don't know. Like, I feel like if you kill enough, because I'm very much the type that if there's a camp, I will strategically dispose of every single one of those people. So I think just because of that kind of thing, I didn't, I didn't really have to buy more.
I was obsessed with story. I was like, get out of my way. And I would just ride on Torrent back and forth and just like try and find. And I only researched and farmed when I absolutely had to. I'm just such a story guy. You know, I think the Mountaintops of the Giants, you know?
Yeah. Just,
yeah, really. Oh, yeah, favorite environment. I know you mentioned, like, Lanedale. That was, like, a moment for you. But, like, the areas, because this is such a huge world. What's your favorite area to just sort of, like, roam around in?
Limgrave is so nice.
Yeah, network test nostalgia vibes. I like that.
Oh, if I, yeah. only I had been part of that. But
no, it's yeah, cool. It was. I mean, as someone who did jump in on that one, it's like nothing compared to the finished game. So it was literally like a little chunk of Elden Ring, like a couple months before. But
it was such a little. Like I think I watched maybe one person, like a video one person made about kind of what their experience was with that, and just going off of that, like I had no idea how big the game was going to be. I thought Margaret was like the boss for that area.
Oh yeah,
but yeah.
Okay, no. Let's look a little bit to the future. What would you like, or do you think the game needs in the form of DLC or something like a like an art book? What else would you like to see from Elden Ring, or do you believe that it's like this perfect thing that should just be not touched anymore?
I don't know. I'm almost positive they're gonna be making DLC. Whatever that is, like I will leave that to them. DLC would be great, but I trust whatever they want to do. So I don't.
Okay.
I don't have any specific ideas there.
Thoughts.
I would in later games, maybe. I wouldn't mind a story that was a little bit more straightforward. I feel like Sekiro was that way.
I love Sekiro for that reason.
It was still something where it wasn't completely laid out for you, but I knew like where I was supposed to be going and like why characters were in the places that they were. And I don't know. I enjoyed that one. So I wouldn't mind something a little bit more like that. But again, you know, I play these games obviously without that element. So it's fine. It's fine. If they just keep doing whatever they want to do.
I don't know if you shared this on your other, not socials, but anywhere where we can actually see the behind the scenes of how you've hooked up the strings to a certain, how you made that happen.
I have like one picture, I think that was, I made like my first YouTube community post. And it was like, but it was like more of like a streaming setup. So
for the audio listeners, how did you do it?
Yeah. Well, I think also it's good for me to talk through a little bit because even with the images, it's not always clear what is going on. So how much detail do you want?
Everything, just go.
Okay. I
actually specifically want to know, it's like when you had this idea of like I want to be able to play Elden Ring on the harp, and so what was the first Google you did of like yeah, go.
First Google was how to turn instrument into controller, I don't know, something like that.
Okay.
And so yeah, so basically my setup from, I'll go from the harp and then kind of tell you how it goes and into the game. So my harp has a pickup. Its harps are hollow in the back so that the sound can, you know, better do its thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I have, there's like four, yeah, I think it's four contact mics that are kind of glued at specific places along the back inside of the harp. And then they all connect and they come out and basically like a guitar jack at the bottom. And that makes it so that the sound is picked up really cleanly and it's only the harp too. So it doesn't pick up anything else. So that comes out the bottom of the harp. You can just plug basically just like with a guitar cable, because the tutorial that I had found, which I followed kind of, there were some things that I didn't have to do or that I changed a little bit. But that person did it with a guitar. So you can basically plug my harp. It plugs into an audio interface. which has something that I can connect to the computer via USB.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What interface did you have to buy that? Did you have that at home? Or did you go on Amazon?
I had that. So all of this, all of the like actual hardware stuff, so audio interface, cables, pickup, that is all stuff that I already have, because I use that for recording when I record music, and for gigging. If I'm somewhere and I need to amplify my harp, that's why I actually have the pickup in my harp, is for amplification purposes. If I'm playing like outside or in a really big venue that mm-hmm. you need amplification for. So that plugs into my computer. And then from there, I have a program called FL Studio, which is a digital audio work station. I think that's what that last one is. But yeah, DAW. I used to use one called Midjic. Now I use one called FL Studio. It was just because Midjic I had on my tablet. And so I had it on the computer too. But then I remembered that I also had FL Studio, which is, I don't know, slightly, maybe a little bit more powerful. I don't know. Mm-hmm. For some reason, when I was using Midjic, sometimes there was some a little bit more
delay,
latency,
or
I think.
Oh, latency. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know, maybe it was just like the day. But anyway, so I use FL Studio, and then I pull up a plugin called Midjic, which is a program that takes pitches. It is amazing. Meant for guitar, but it takes guitar pitches and then it turns it into MIDI. And then that MIDI gets exported to another piece of software that I opened up, which is called Bone MIDI Translator, which takes the MIDI and you can assign those MIDI pitches to specific things like mouse clicks or keystrokes. There so I can say like, I want this specific C, not even just all Cs, but like this specific C to, I don't know, I want it to be the equivalent of like pressing the mm-hmm. up arrow or something right. like that. Okay. And then from there, honestly, you can just
practice.
The computer thinks that you're playing with keyboard and mouse. So
what was day one like you just like, okay, and you're there, you're set up. Okay. See, there you go. Body language says it all. All right.
Yeah. Day one was a lot of figuring out the controls and how to best bind them. Mm-hmm. And also just getting used to playing that way, because there are a lot of things that you can, obviously, there are a lot of things with controller that you can do, you can't do with harp. For example, like move your character, like the camera around at the same time that you attack. You can't really do that.
I was gonna say, oh my God.
Yeah, because Midjic only can recognize like one pitch at a time.
And how did you figure that out, actually? Like, try to, like, because the camera is so huge in these From Software games.
So that actually took me the longest. I feel like attacking, rolling, all of those things, it's just like one button push, right? So it's mm-hmm. not that bad. And then like once the action, once you do it, it's over. It's not like walking where it's continuous sometimes, or sometimes you only want to go a little bit further, or mm-hmm. camera where sometimes you want to spin around a lot, sometimes you want to spin around a little bit. Mm-hmm. So that took a little bit of time. The first time that I tried to do the walking, I had the worst idea ever, which was like, okay, I'm gonna set this string to this key, and when I pluck it, it's going to hold it down, because you can choose like not only the key you want to be pressed, but also how long you can customize it. Like, do you want there to be a delay, or do you want it to be held for this specific amount of time? So I think I set it to something like, I don't know, 2 seconds or something like that.
Okay.
It was horrible because it was very like start and stop. Like, I had to keep plucking the string to get them to move. And then eventually I had like, I was like so ready to just be like, okay, it's only going to be the tutorial. I can't do anything besides that, because it would just be too hard otherwise. But then I was like, oh, you know, maybe like I can just make them walk forever. So more of like a toggle on and off thing, which is
nice. That makes sense.
I do it now. So yeah. They keep walking until I pluck a different directional string, or I have another one to just get them to stop at, like, okay. You know, no matter what. So
what is it for sprinting? Do you hold a certain string down to like sprint?
I can't sprint. I don't have I don't have a sprint.
Okay, folks.
And
all right.
Something that's not great with harp is I can't. I guess I could. Like the problem with that is I could have a string that was like, okay, I'm going. I don't even know what the sprint button is on PC, but I could have a string that says, okay, hold this key down, and then have a different one that says, okay, when I do this other string, like make the key go up. But if I do that, that's two more strings, and I only have a certain range I can use because if I go down too low or if I go up too high, it can't really detect the pitches as easily. So
Anna, you've normalized this. Clearly you've been doing it. It's but just so that I can kind of reflect the thoughts and praise and just awe of the listeners. I can be a conduit for them right now because they're all like mowing their lawns and riding their bikes and everything. Because everyone right now listening is thinking like, that's just completely boundless dedication. Like, I'm sure you had this thing that happened, which I guess like mad scientists get or like crazy musicians get, where they're like, they're not focusing too much on the insanity of it. They're just focusing on getting it done because they know that there's a way to get it done. So I seriously have to be like, seriously, this is amazing, especially after hearing how much was involved in putting it together. Like, that's amazing. And thank you. Like, this is, it really, like, we've been doing a lot of topic podcast stuff, but I was like, as soon as I saw your GIF, it's like, that's it. We have to speak, you know, and so you can fully unveil. So yeah, like, oh my God, like, well done. Like on behalf of everyone right now, like, seriously.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I don't, at this point, it's just, I think the biggest hurdle was finding out which controls would work best. And also just getting used to the fact that I'm not using a controller anymore. The first one took some time, but then once you figure it out, it's finished. I never have to, like, there are some times where if a control doesn't work, I'll like go in and I'll figure out why and try to fix it. But that doesn't really happen as much anymore. So once you figure it out, it's fine. It's set. You can just pull it up the program, then minimize it. And then the other one, I am already pretty like fluent in harp playing. So it didn't, that also is fine.
You know, all right. Well, there you go. This would be an entire other conversation if you had just never heard of a harp and like, began like never heard of a computer, like whatever, but I think a couple of things like fell perfectly into place, and I'm always fascinated by when just the life paths of, you know, and passions of people kind of tend to converge in these interesting ways where it's like, well, this had to be Anna. This was always Anna. That's it. Your fate now is to, I'm sure it's not the only thing, and let's just like broaden that out because I like to get the full picture of the human being. Anna, what else do you do apart from harp? Is it work? Is it study? Is it go for it?
It used to be playing games, but then harp infiltrated that clearly. So yeah, but I mean, besides that, I mean, what else people like doing? Reading, hanging out with friends, and
running, whatever the fuck. Yeah, I can dig it. Skills. Well, that almost ties us off, but I do like to have this little tease. So have you had a good experience with this harp play, like gameplay harp play kind of series? I dare say pioneered. I don't know if there's anyone else out there. This is probably going to maybe even be looked at as like a historical document. It's like, oh yeah, you know, harpcore or whatever it'll be called, like the genre that you've created.
I can't wait to hear what it's called.
Yeah, or, you know. So with that in mind, are you looking forward to playing future games in this way? And even if not, first of all, that's one question. So you're looking forward to it? Okay. All
right. Yeah. So, I am, so there were, I should say, there were other games in the Steam library I could have picked. I had not played any of them. I had played Dark Souls. So I was like, you know, in a weird way, this is going to be the easiest game to try this with. I think I really want to try this with Sekiro because is even for people, who, I don't know, that's such a rhythm game, and everybody, that's always like one of the things
people
say about it.
So
that would be a lot of fun, I think.
Okay. I have three more games, though, that might pique your interest. I'll flash them all now in the edit. So what's coming up is we have Black Myth Wukong, is looking so incredible. This incredible telling of like, it's sort of a take on Journey to the West. Have you heard of Black Myth Wukong? Mm-mm. Okay, so Game Science Studios, I'll send you a clip. You'll fucking love it. You're going to be like, I want to play that. Jedi Survivor, Jedi Fallen Order, which was basically these, they were like, we want to create this mixture of, I mean, there's some Mass Effect-y elements, but I would say it's like Lucasfilm trying their hand at the Souls kind of format. And it's okay. Star Wars, you know? So Jedi Survivor's coming out. And then Wulong, Fallen Dynasty or whatever, they just announced it on Xbox. So all of these, did you get into the Neo kind of stuff or sort of the Soulsborne adjacent stuff at all? Or are you just like...
I know of it, but I haven't okay. tried it yet.
Yeah. All right. I just think the whole recording has just been you being like, yeah, what is it? The kids say Giga Chad energy of like, yeah, I just play Elden Ring, Soulsborne. It's what I do. Yeah,
it's just on the hop. Oh, no. I just like, I feel like I was introduced to games mm-hmm. like a lot later than a lot of people. So I okay. have to play catch up a little bit. So.
Okay. Actually, well, no, we're cutting into your hour. I didn't want to take too much time up of your day. But
No, I mean, I'm fine.
Are you good? Okay, just checking.
Yeah, so whenever you have to go is...
Okay.
But I mean, it's like, it's a Monday night. I don't have a Monday night.
That's it. Okay, so first game ever. I mean, I'm curious. Like, where did that journey begin?
First game ever?
First video game.
Mm-hmm. Pokemon Red.
You are my people, as I say. Excellent. Very similar. Pokemon Yellow, way back in the day, it was like the Nintendo 64 stuff. You haven't messed around with any Nintendo 64 stuff, have you? Or have you?
Okay. No, my mom was like not into video games.
Okay.
I just had Pokemon Red because it was a cousin hand-me-down.
Okay. But. Oh, well, there you go. Scarlet and Violet, I think, coming out later this year, November. Mm-hmm. We have now fully left the tarnished Trail of Grace. So we're just completely out there. Because clearly, I always really enjoy, same with Gobbleyprin, who came before all the other guests, is I just love the idea of gamers as like fully dimensionalized people. Like they bring everything that they've been through to this point of like becoming who they are, doing what they do. Again, flashing on the screen. Okay, Lettuce for Days. Okay, Anna, what is Lettuce for Days about? Are you a vegan? Tell us the story.
I am, that's the story. And okay. I guess going, if you want like a little bit more of a story,
please, I would say,
so sometimes, you know, people are just like, oh, vegans only eat like rabbit food. And normal people would be like, oh, no, they don't. Like, mm-hmm. there are a lot of other things. My first, like, instinct, my first, like, way that I just, like, automatically want to respond is like, but rabbit food is so good. So, like, yeah, lettuce for days. I could eat lettuce for days. And sometimes I do. So
I love that's really lettuce. Good. This, thank you again. There's so many common threads, like shouts out. I love just fucking your basic iceberg lettuce, bit of olive oil, bit of salt. It's maybe we're weird that way. I just fucking love lettuce. It's cool.
No. It's not weird. We're not the weird ones.
Thank you. They're the weird ones. Thank you. All right. On that note, go and eat healthily, people. Go and start playing the harp. hit up Anna for tips. Absolutely. And thank you for being who you are, doing what you do, really bringing a brand new dimension to this, where it's like this boundless community of all these different variations of just like passion. But yours is one of the most unique I've ever encountered. Thank you for making the time. Gosh, and what's ahead for you for the rest of your day today? Apart from, as you said, it's Monday. You're going to watch a movie or something? Making dinner?
Yeah. I don't know.
Lettuce and, a la lettuce?
Yeah. Lettuce will probably be involved somehow. Great. I like that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, giant Zoom hugs. I'm one of those daggy people that does that. I will definitely see you around on the Elden Ring. Are you going to keep posting like little gifts and stuff to the Reddit?
Yeah. I mean, maybe for the bigger bosses. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll see.
Okay. Well, yeah. Thank you for being an amazing guest. It was really fun, and we'll see what games down the line, maybe in like a couple months, because we do Star Wars, everything, every topic. Again, I'm insane. Any topic, that's why it's called the Topic Podcast Network, which is like insert whatever in place of the word topic, there is one out there. So I'll probably start a harp podcast. Who knows? I know. We do have a musicians podcast. So whatever down the line, I'm like, okay, so now she has pivoted completely to there's some amazing stuff coming up, Anna. There's really interesting RPGs coming out. I would like to see you tackle, like, I don't know, Bioshock 4 or whatever. Like, see how you go with the first person shooter or something, if that even appeals to you. You go. Okay. You'd think actually because there's more linearity, but anyway, there's clearly too many avenues we could go down. Go have yourself a lovely rest of your Monday. And great to meet you and make a fucking e-friend or whatever. So
Yeah, for sure. No, it was a lot of fun. So thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I'll edit this one up and send you the links.
Yeah, sounds good.
Take it easy. All right. Be well.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Rated M for mature.
Think you know strength? Think you have the endurance or the focus to conquer titans? Because I do. I've done it. You see, power is nothing without the mind to control it. A king is not crowned without first slaying his demons. So when you fall, don't lose faith. Get back up. Be sharper than their swords and hit harder than their hammers. And may death never stop you.